to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and you're in for a real treat. You're going to learn a lot today. This is a pre-recorded broadcast put together by our wonderful producer for this particular episode, Ace McKay. And we have a special guest. She has come back to visit us again on Take Two because she brings with her a wealth of understanding and knowledge and experience in this area. And you guys, the Take Two family, you've been asking for this because you are commenting in, you are sending emails, you are trying to contact us about caregiving. You've been thrown into the role of a caregiver in your home with your elderly parents or a loved one. And you're like, now what? I mean, what am I supposed to do? How can I work a full-time job? How can I continue to take care of my own family? And I'm taking care of my parents. I have to drive a long distance. None of my siblings will help. I'm running out of money. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Does that sound like you or potentially maybe you're thinking about in the future that's going to be you? Well, let's talk about it. And remember, we're doing it the Take Two way. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's how we roll. It's very important. So this is a pre-recorded broadcast. We're not taking any calls today. I will ask your questions that you have sent in about this. And let's bring back our dear friend, a friend of Take Two's. And she's been on. She wrote the book, Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers. It's an amazing book. We have promoted it several times on Take Two, and you can find it at EWTNRC.com. She's the Director of Communications for EWTN. And so welcome back, our dear friend, Michelle Johnson.
Thank you so much for having me, Debbie.
Well, thank you for making time for us. I know you're super busy as Director of Communications, and you got a lot of things to do at EWTN. But I made the phone call to you, Michelle, and I said, Michelle, you have to come back and do this recorded broadcast with us, brand new for our listeners, because we're just getting flooded with calls and comments, and people are really frustrated. There's just not enough support out there. They don't know who to turn to. They don't even have anyone to talk to. So, Michelle, let's just for those that are brand new to Take Two or just maybe tripped onto the station on this wonderful Friday, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book, Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers. Tell us a little bit about your story with your husband, Stu. And I understand this was the week of the anniversary of his passing. So try to give us what we call the Reader's Digest version, just to get our Take Two family members up to speed. And then I'll go into the questions.
Okay. Well, you know, this isn't something that anyone would ever ask for. My husband had 3 bouts of cancer over 8 years. He had his leg amputated up to the hip, and he became a quadriplegic. Mm. And during those 8 years, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, but I would not give it up. It was an amazing chance for us to get closer together than we ever had been before, and for me to become a better person. Mm-hmm. It was hard. I'm not going to say that it wasn't hard. But the reason I wrote the book was because I wanted to show people what we had done right, what we had done wrong, and give them resources for doing things better than we did. You know, being a caregiver is a privilege, and it's a chance to, you know, think of yourself. What if you were the one who needed care? What would you want? Mm-hmm. What kind of care would you want? And what would you expect from your loved ones? That sometimes can turn things around for you, because it's not easy to be the person who mm-hmm. needs the care.
Well, Michelle, though, you're saying that now, that it's an opportunity, you know, and you wrote, you know, this incredible book for all of us. And it's Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers, How to Cope Practically, Emotionally, and Spiritually When a Loved One Has a Serious Illness. And you're saying that reflecting back on your story, your 8-year story of caregiving. And I understand that. And that's what has been revealed to you. But at the time when you were first thrown into caregiving, Michelle, when the first bout of cancer, or the first time Stu, your husband, said, you know, I need help, I'm going to need your assistance, were you feeling those same positive emotions, or were you feeling like, how am I going to do this?
I was terrified.
Oh, okay.
We, in a million years, never thought that he had cancer. He had a sore on the bottom of his foot. And it had been, unfortunately, we didn't know this, we had gone to doctor after doctor. It had been misdiagnosed for a year. Mm. And I won't go into all of that, but when we finally found out, the day that it was revealed to us that it was cancer, I could hardly breathe. I could barely think. I was just, and my husband was the same. And when the doctors came in the room and they said that, he was gripping my hand so hard. I mean, it's a wonder it didn't break. He just was so, you know, we were both. Mm-hmm. And it was right before a holiday weekend. And so we couldn't look for that. The hospital we were in was a little tiny hospital in New Jersey that didn't have, you know, the kind of resources that he was going to need.
Right.
And so we had that 3 days to just panic. And, you know, I had gone on the internet, which is the wrong thing to do because it makes you even more scared because they talk about every single thing that could possibly happen. To me, it meant he was going to die immediately. I never thought it was going to be, you know. So I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was in a panic. And I remember one night, I mean, because I hadn't slept in a couple nights, I finally just fell into an exhausted sleep. And I mean, this is amazing, Debbie. And I know you know the story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what time it was when I woke up. And I just sat straight up in bed. And just the words just came out of me. Just not, I had never prayed like this before. It was like, Father. And all of a sudden, I felt like this ball of energy was just leaning up against my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Father, if that's you, come.
Wow.
And instantly, I felt this, it was an explosion of joy. And I just remember just leaning back into what felt like the arms of God.
Wow. Okay, Michelle, hold it there. You hear the music. We're all sitting on the edge of our seats. We need to hear more of this because I think this is already helping souls today. So thank you, Michelle. Hang on, everyone. We're coming back for this pre-recorded broadcast on caregiving today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So stay tuned in the entire hour and please pass this episode on to friends. We are back and we're having a great discussion with Michelle Johnson. She's a dear friend of Take Two's and she's been with us from the very beginning, 10 years ago, and we love that. And she's written this wonderful book on caregiving, her real life story with her husband, Stu. And we want to get into the details of this so it can help our Take Two family members really feel some peace, some joy, some comfort as they are in this new role of caregiving. But before we get back with our conversation, because I left everybody just hanging right there because we had to take that break. If you have the iHeart Radio app, you can listen to the EWTN Radio live stream. Go to iHeart Radio and search EWTN. Okay, Michelle. And by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, we're with Michelle Johnson, Director of Communications here at EWTN, and her great book and her story on caregiving with her husband, Stu. And it's just so powerful because I think it can help all of us today. It's a great book. It's a great story. It's a great manual for really adopting this new role of caregiving. It's a difficult position to be in. I was a caregiver for 11 years. Michelle was saying 8 years with her husband, Stu. So this is very interesting. So Michelle, you started off when you realized what was happening with you and your husband, you were terrified. You said you went into panic mode. Okay, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what our Take Two family members are writing in about. They're saying the same thing. I'm terrified. I'm paralyzed. I don't know what to do. And then you fell asleep because you were so exhausted. And you woke up with this really clear understanding and maybe a new direction, a new infusion of energy, if you will, to get through this. Is that what you're telling us?
As I prayed that prayer, you know, Father, and I felt that energy, you know, come into me, it was an explosion of joy. And
wow.
For the first time, I just felt like I leaned back into the arms of God and I went to sleep. for the first time in 2 days. And when I woke up, everything had changed, even though nothing had changed, because I was walking with God at that point. He gave me the strength for what was going to be 8 years of increasingly hard caregiving. And if nothing else comes out of this conversation, it's the importance of walking with God, because He's the only one. And it doesn't mean, when I say that, it does not mean, okay, you got to get on your knees and start praying for, you know, hours of the day, because you're not going to have time. Okay. I mean, sometimes it's insane the way things are. You live more in a state of emergency than normal life. Normal life is emergency, but you can wing up those prayers. Divine physician, help me, you know, just short little, they used to call them ejaculations, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the little prayers that will give you the grace to handle what it is you need to handle.
Right. But can you honestly say, Michelle, I'm not trying to get into the nitty gritty of this, but I think it's so important for those that are listening, because when you said you felt an immediate joy, yeah. But you know that you knew that you were going into some really difficult times. I mean, when you say joy, was it really joy? I mean, joy to me is like, I just won the lottery and I'm really excited. Was it a real deep joy, or was it a deep joy and peace?
It's a spiritual joy.
Okay.
It's real, Deb. I mean, it's a real feeling when God is carrying us, and it's like, if the one advantage that you have when you're really suffering, when you really turn to God instead of turning away from God, which is the temptation of a lot of people, then He's going to meet you where you are. And one of the beauties, one of the things that's actually a benefit of tragedy and suffering and all of that kind of thing, is that if you turn to God, then you will get the help. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's not just pious stuff. After you told me that you wanted to talk about this, it's interesting over the last few days what the Lord has brought into my life. And I have a new friend that I had lunch with on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And she's been a certified nursing assistant, okay? So she deals with this kind of stuff all the time. And she said she was with a woman who was having to care for both her dying husband and her dying son.
Oh.
I know.
Hmm.
And she said she was, you know, honored to help her, but she was also horrified that this was happening. And when they both died, and her time there was over, she said she had been mentally just really blown away by what had happened. Mm-hmm. And she said to herself, if that's how God is, then forget it. I'm not, you know, just, I'm walking away. And she did, for a couple years. Mm. And she said, but that's when things immediately started to fall apart in her life. You know, they got worse and worse and worse, but she was adamant she was staying away from God. And then her mom got sick. And because she has a caregiving heart, she went to take care of her mother. Right. And her mother was religious. And she could see that her mother was suffering because she wasn't able to go to church by herself. She couldn't, you know, drive or anything. Mm-hmm. So she started taking her. And as she got back to church to help her mother, she started to come around because she saw that her mother was improving from that contact.
Wow.
And that taught her, well, all right, this is not, because you know what? You're going to be suffering no matter what. This is happening, okay? Mm-hmm. You're either going to do it alone or you're going to do it with God. You're going to do it hopeless, what, I have no hope, or you're going to walk with God and that's where you'll get the hope.
Right. Right. Wow, that was powerful. I could feel the Holy Spirit as you were speaking. And she's an incredible lady that you just recently had lunch with. That's pretty amazing. So she has come through a lot. But getting back, tapping back into this joy, do you think some of that came because you were a third? Were you a third order Carmelite back when you and Stu were going through this at the beginning? Or did that come later?
No. It came before. And I mean, thank God it did, because it was a whole Medjugorje experience and things like that, because sure. I was much more of a, shall we say, modern woman, you know, and mm-hmm. I thought I was a wonderful Catholic because mm-hmm. I went to church on Sunday. I remember right. one
You Lent, checked the box? Is that what you're saying?
I checked the box, yeah.
Okay, got it.
You know, I remember one Lent I had decided to go to the Stations of the Cross and I thought I was a saint. So it wasn't until Medjugorje, and that's a whole story.
Wow.
That, I mean, I changed overnight. You know, it was my sister who had gone there with her husband, and she gave me some books. It took me a while to get around to reading them. But mm-hmm. when I finally picked it up, I felt like St. Paul knocked off his horse, because everything in there, I mean, it was Our Lady talking, were things that I had learned growing up.
Right.
But now it was Our Lady saying. And wow. so, I mean, I started to go into confession. I was crying all the time, not because I was sad, because I could tell, and I'm going to use a Protestant expression here, I was being saved. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my heart was changing. And your heart will change if you allow it, going through this caregiving journey yeah. and crisis. It's a crisis.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, it definitely is. I can't say that I actually felt joy the first couple years that I was faced with caregiving. And I got to that point eventually, but it took me a long time. But I wonder, you know, it's so interesting because there's no accident with God. I really just believe God, like, you know, scripts so many things and orchestrates things, and we just pick up the puzzle pieces. And it's so interesting. You can't make this stuff up. But your husband passed on the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which we just celebrated, and you were a third order Carmelite. I don't think there's any accident to that, Michelle.
No. That was a gift from God to let me know that they had him. Our Lady was saying to me, I've got him.
Exactly.
And, you know, Deb, you were saying you don't think you ever felt any joy. I don't want you to think that because in that moment I felt joy, that I went around then for the next 8 years feeling joy.
Right, right. Super happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh. But it was a peace and a strength mm-hmm. that even when, but a strength... You also need, and I'm not going to say that you can do this by yourself. It's very important that you try to find people here on earth, too, that can talk with you. Mm. And, you know, I remember when my husband had to get his leg amputated. You know, that was one of the worst experiences. And I was trying to be really positive while we were in the hospital, you know, and he was there. And, you know, well, we can do this. But when I left, I was like, you know, oh my God.
He just lost a leg, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he hadn't lost it yet, but he was about, I was distance
was
before, yeah, he was going to.
Oh, okay.
And so I remember I was driving home in the car and I called my mother and I told her what was happening. And then I burst out, Mom, I'm so scared. Mm. And she said, honey, what are you scared of? And I said, well, I don't understand how he's going to be able to sit. Now, that sounds dumb now, but I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in saying that, I felt the fear drain out of me. You've got to be able to express it to someone. Now, not just anyone, because if you talk to somebody that hasn't been through it, a lot of times they'll just give you platitudes. You don't want to hear that. You
right.
know what I mean? Well, it'll be all right. Well, actually,
or you'll get through it. Yeah, this yeah. too will pass. I heard that so many times. This too will pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. And they're doing their best. It's not that they're not trying, but they don't know. And so you do need somebody who loves you and cares about you and just is willing to listen.
Right.
That I would recommend. And you know what? If you don't have somebody like that, there are ways to find that. There are... grief groups out there. There are, you know, you could even do something like this. There's an app that's across the United States called Next Door Neighbor. And you can put posts on there. I see them all the time of people mm-hmm. that just want different things. You could start a group that, and let's say you can't leave the house even. Do a Zoom, a free Zoom thing, and with
right.
some fellow caregivers. There's ways, if you want to reach out and to get to people that are in the same boat as you are, and that can help.
Well, you're bringing up a really good points, because some of the emails that we've been reading recently from our from our family members of Take Two, they're saying that, you know, they have kind of unloaded a lot of this on friends and other people. And now that they don't want to call, people aren't calling them back. You know, they're not staying in touch with them. They don't, and they feel like they overwhelm them, or they're becoming too needy, or they're complaining too much. And so now they're feeling very isolated and alone. These wonderful caregivers that have been really thrust into this arena and not knowing how to be a caregiver. I mean, so many of the fine folks, they're calling in and they're saying, hey, I'm a lawyer. I don't know how to be a caregiver. You know, they're not nurses and doctors that can understand that. So they don't understand what it means to live your regular life, doing the things you have to do by way of work and errands and chores and things like that, and then go into this role of caregiving and to be that nurturing, loving, you know, always there, cleaning up things, you know, thinking of things 10 steps down the road and calling the doctors, you know, driving to medical appointments. I mean, it's a difficult thing. But folks, if you're listening right now, this is a pre-recorded episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It's a brand new content, and it's with our friend Michelle Johnson, and she's the author of the book Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers. And this is her story with her husband, Stu. And she was willing to put this down on paper for all of us so that we can learn. That's why I've always recommended this book ever since it was published. Michelle, because people need to be prepared before it happens. I mean, you know, I probably knew it was going to happen to me because my other siblings, I knew they weren't going to really be available to take care of my mom and dad, and my mom and dad were aging, right? And so I kind of knew in the back of my mind it was going to fall on me. But I was not prepared at all when it really did. And I had to keep going in my own life and then try to do this new role. So it's so interesting when you're talking about you went to your mom. Well, what if you're the caregiver for your mom? Like, who do you, you know, a lot of us do run to our parents. But what do you do if you don't have somebody like a mom or dad to run to just talk to, where you know they're going to unconditionally help you and be there for you? Who would you suggest? You're mentioning other places for people to go, but let's just say, just pick any kind of situation you can think of in your head. And I know you talk to a lot of people since you've published the book. If you were just thrown into caregiving role, who would you talk to first if you didn't have your mom or dad available?
Okay, well, you know what I'm going to say first? I would turn to God.
Exactly. Okay, I knew you were going to say that. Okay, so God first.
And then I would ask him to send me somebody. You know what I mean? I didn't have somebody that it was immediately coming to mind. Now, most of us will have maybe a brother or a sister who may or may not be helpful. We don't know.
Right.
You might have a cousin or some, you know, other person in the family that you know is going through this. You might have a friend. You know what I mean? The possibilities are kind of endless. But, you know, I want to talk to the person that has none of that. You know, I mean, I know a girl here. She was here at AWTN. She's left now. But she lost her entire family.
Ooh.
She had nobody. But, you know, she's the person that I had more friends than I could count on, you know, my hands and toes together. You know what
right.
I mean? People loved
right.
her.
Well, and hold it right there again, Michelle. I'm sorry to do this to you, but Ace is right on cue. We're going to take that next break. And when we come back, we'll have a longer segment together. But, you know, what you just said just sparked something inside of me. I want to pick up where we left off when we come back. This is we're talking about caregiving today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie with our dear friend, Michelle Johnson. So stay with us. Okay, we are back for this wonderful conversation we're having with Michelle Johnson, and we're talking about caregiving today. When you are put into that position of taking care of somebody else or a few people, and you're not trained to do it, you're not even certain how to do it, you have your own life going on, and you're like, wow, this is a big job. And Michelle's talking about how this is an opportunity for great spiritual growth, and so we're going to get into that in a moment. But Michelle, I loved what you said when I said, Michelle, what if you don't have a mom or dad you can run to just bounce things off of? Or what if you're the one who's taking care of your elderly parents, so you can't really talk to them? And I loved how you said, you know, you would go to God first. Of course, we go to God. But I loved when you said, you know, you ask God to bring people into your life to really help you with this. And, you know, that's interesting. I did not do that when it first happened to me. I actually dumped everything on my husband, Marty. And I think the two of us, you know, we got through it together, but it was draining. It was very draining. And you know what? Now that you said that, I wish I had done that, where God would have brought people. And I think I would have gone to, for me anyway, I would have gone to people who have had experience with Alzheimer's and dementia, or, you know, like nurses and doctors, and just said, you know, how do you do this? How do you, you know, how do you develop this skill to do this? So that was really good. But when you talked about siblings, it's interesting you said that. Now, in my case, when I spoke to my siblings about it, they didn't want to hear it. They just didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to deal with it because they knew that if they dealt with it, they had to do something about it. And they didn't want to, they just didn't want to step in.
You know what I want to say about that? Mm-hmm. Because in addition to that, Debbie, not even wanting to talk about it, there's a lot of resentment a lot of times on the part of caregivers that they're the ones that have to do it. And, you know, their life is just as important. And that's true. You know what I mean? And their siblings won't help. You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else does. What matters is what you do. And the regrets that they're going to feel if they don't help will be massive. You are the one that has to stand before God in the end. And you can't say, well, my brother, my sister wouldn't do it, so I didn't do it either. You know what? You do what you feel needs to be done. There's ways to get help. You can have, I remember not even knowing this, that you could hire, you know, visiting angels now, which I think are, you hear about that kind of stuff more.
We did. Yeah, they were wonderful.
Yes. And you have to have at least 4 hours, you know what I mean? But go ahead and do something like that so you get a break. And there are all kinds of ways that you can entertain yourself during the endless doctor's visits and the times in the hospital and, oh my goodness. And I mean, you know, now I look back, I did not do this, but I did start to get into reading again because but something light, something that wasn't too heavy, you know what I mean? Because I was going through something that was super heavy. But also, I mean, I wish I had taken the time. They have online courses, you know, to learn languages. And you could do that and prepare in the future to maybe take a trip to Italy or Spain.
Right,
you know?
Right.
There's, you know, you could, if you, I'm not a knitter, but you might be, or you might, you know, there's things you could be doing. Music, you know, is also a very uplifting thing. I remember my mom, who had dementia, what she loved, she had been a musician her whole life. And it's so funny because what she wanted to listen to when she was, you know, really not doing well was patriotic marching music.
Wow.
And so we made up a tape so that, you know, a recording for so that she could listen to that. And it lifted her spirits. So there's all kinds of things that you can do to make things better. I was just reading a wonderful devotional called Strength and Grace. And the woman was saying she was getting very down because it seemed like Groundhog Day to her. Every day was the same. Every day was the same. She started to do things like take a different road home from the hospital. So, you know, she and her husband could talk about the different houses and the, you know, the trees that were in that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, she would start to listen to new kinds of music, or just try to do something a little different, something we can all do that would be refreshing and that would make the day a little different than the day before.
So I have to tell you something about that. I was chuckling as you were sharing that, and I so agree. I learned that, and after a couple years of caregiving, like I would bring different projects into the waiting room because, you know, you'd sit for half an hour, 45 minutes, and you're like, oh, I've got to do something. Yeah. I can't just stare at the walls, you know? And so I learned that. But what I loved, the one part I will tell you that I absolutely loved about taking care of my mom, and you know, we took care of her pretty much round the clock, is that my mother, the only channel she would watch on TV was EWTN television.
Interesting.
It was the only channel. So it was so cool because I knew I was going to get to watch EWTN. So I was happy. I was fine. Every once in a while, she'd like the Golden Girls episodes.
Yes.
The old, yeah, those episodes. And so we prayed the rosary with Mother Angelica, you know, and it was so funny because every once in a while, you know, there's commercials on there for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So I would come up on the TV set. My mother would say, oh, look, you're on the TV. And then she'd just go on to her, you know, she would be so interested in Mother Angelica or Father Mitch or something. It was so funny. But that was the one high point and highlight and the joy that brought me, because I at least felt connected to what I do in ministry, right? So but I love what you said, you know, find those creative things that you can do that's going to expand you, that's going to make you learn something new. I love that about languages. I mean, you can do that easily in the waiting room with some earbuds and just be practicing. But yeah, that's true. But don't you think sometimes, Michelle, when people are thrown into, and I use those terms, I chose those terms carefully because we are literally thrown into caregiving overnight. And don't you feel that sometimes when people are put into that position, they are so shocked? You can see it on their faces. I used to look around the waiting room at doctor's offices, and you can always tell those caregivers that were there that just, yeah, you know, and they just have that deer in the headlights look, like, what's going to happen next?
Well, and I remember this one young woman at EWTN, a tree fell on her husband, and he overnight became paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And she came over to my house because I had a lot of things I had bought when Stu was paralyzed that I could give to her. Mm-hmm. And so I remember her saying to me, I just want things to go back to the way they were. That's all. I just want that. That's it. You know, and of course, that's what everybody wants, you know.
Right.
But sometimes, absent a miracle, that's not what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to take a little while. That's why you have to process it by talking, by praying. And you'll come to it. You know what I mean? You'll come to it. I know that here at EWTN, I mean, that's another reason I wrote the book, was because people would come up to me all the time and go, how did you do that? You know? And so I would try to remember everything I could to share with them. So, I don't know,
wow.
Deb. I mean,
wow.
So
were you actually working still at EWTN full time?
Yes.
While you were taking care of Stu, going through all of this, three bouts of cancer, you know, and then in the end he did pass. How old was he when he passed?
57.
Oh, that's young. That is young. Okay. And this is your husband. You had probably all of these hopes and dreams of what you were going to do in the future, travel and this and that, that everybody does with their spouses, right? And all of that was cut short. But you're saying this 8-year long journey with Stu, you're saying it was an opportunity, a chance for joy and growth and understanding and transformation and all sorts of things. So you're creating it, or you're painting it as a positive if we choose to enter into it, right?
It's a choice, Debbie. It's a choice.
Okay.
And I mean, we can decide how we're going to look at this. Everything. I remember reading a book. I've talked about it before. It's Victor. What's his name? He wrote about this consecration camp. He was a psychiatrist that was in a Nazi concentration camp, Viktor Frankl.
Mm-hmm.
And the book, the takeaway from that was, they could take everything away from me, but they couldn't take away how I was going to think about it. We can decide that. And that's why I say it's really important to get your head on straight. I listened this week. I just got into a new podcast, Daily Rosary Meditations. And the guy who does it with his daughter has a PhD in theology. And he did a whole thing on, you know, why did God allow this to happen, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned things around in a way that I hadn't heard before. He said, he said, think about some of the goods in this world. You've got a home, but, you know, it takes up a lot of your money. It takes up a lot of your time. You have to spend a lot of time cleaning it or doing things, but you wouldn't want to do away with the home. you have a family. And in most cases, even though there might be fighting and various things going on,
right.
you know, you wouldn't want to get rid of the family. Food. If we didn't have food, gee, maybe we wouldn't gain weight or, you know, but who would give that up? He said, well, the greatest good is our freedom. And freedom is what God gave us, free will. Mm-hmm. And it's what allows us to love. It's what allows us to do all the things that are really worthwhile in life.
Right.
Would we want him to take away our free will and just be robots? Mm-hmm. No. And that's what allows the evil to happen. Because there are people that are going to do things. When that happens, God weeps with us. He's crying with us. But we don't always know what's the best for us. So we have to trust him. And we have to trust that when he's in the circumstance with us, when he's crying with us, he's going to be helping us through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was powerful. So, Michelle, we on take two, we always talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. We try to cover it in a real raw way. Okay, what do you say to those fine folks that are listening today? They're in the caregiving role for their loved one or a person that they have been asked to step up and really assist them. Okay, and they're beating themselves up because they failed. Maybe they got short with that patient, that person, and, you know, they weren't there. They weren't nice. Maybe they were a little bit quick to respond back or a little, all the things that when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you want to get back to your own life, you're just not the best you can be. What do you say to that person?
Oh, I relate. I remember at one point, Stu was in the hospital yet again, and he wanted me there. So, I mean, I would get up early in the morning and I would go see him, and then I'd go to work, and then I'd come back at lunchtime and I'd go back to work, and then I would run home, and we had dogs, feed the dogs, and then run back to the hospital. And I was sitting there one night and I sank down into a chair. I was exhausted. And the nurse came in and she was fiddling around with the cord to the machine that he was on. And he turned around, looked at me, and he went, "Help her." I was like, but I didn't say anything. I just was like, okay, it's okay. Because I really believe that when someone's sick, you know, you got to give them some leeway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won't go into each thing that happened, but it was several things in a row that happened, okay? And finally, I was like, look. And I let him have it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I felt like I was a horrible person.
Right.
So one of the things that I think is important that I learned is when something happens, don't say it right away when you're upset, okay? But later you can say to the person, you know, honey, this is hard for me too. You know, I'm tired. You know, when you yelled at me, you know what I mean?
Right,
you can say it in a calm way. But if you wait until and bottle it up, you're going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
I suggest that you handle things as they're happening and not wait. Doesn't mean pick on every single little tiny thing. I mean, yeah, let some things go. Right? Their own drugs a lot of times, which can very much change their personalities. Heavy drugs, you know, painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they have some agency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We're having a great conversation about caregiving today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're speaking with our friend Michelle Johnson. She's the author of the book Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers. You can find the book at ewtnrc.com. I will tell you that I have the book, and I will tell you that I've given the book to a few friends who I know they needed the book because they were put into a caregiving role and they had no idea how to handle it. And they were getting frustrated just thinking about it. They didn't even get into the daily routine of it. Just thinking about it made them nervous, made their blood pressure go sky high. So what do you also say to the beautiful Take Two family members that are listening right now, Michelle, that, you know, they're starting to internalize things and feelings and just the stress of it and all of it. And they're getting sick themselves. You know, a few of the emails we got recently, the caregivers were saying that, this isn't even a funny situation. The person that I'm caring for is going to live longer than me because now I'm getting sick.
Well, you know, you have to make some decisions. There's hospice, depending on how sick your loved one is. And they often have respite care, where they'll allow you to, put your loved one into the hospice for a week or something so that you can recover or take a vacation or whatever it is you need to do. And that can be free. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If it's can be part of your health care.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, that's an option to think about. But I also think, you know, it's just important the way, like I said, the way you think about this. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? What mm-hmm. what matters most is if you're sick, get some help. Get that. I remember when I first got the visiting angels to come in, mm-hmm. and I didn't even know that could happen. I slept for like an entire weekend because wow. I was so tired. I mean, they must have thought I was the worst wife in the world because, I mean, I was like, oh my God, there's somebody there to mm-hmm. take care of this. And I was it. You know what I mean? And sure. I was exhausted beyond anything you could imagine, but I couldn't let go. You know what I mean? Because I was the only one he had. And that's the thing. When you are the only one your loved one has, you know, you feel that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it is hard, but thank God I had the grace to do it, because it made all the difference in the world. And I will tell you this. When my mom died, but this goes across everything, and it goes across everything I'm saying, I felt upset because there were some life and death decisions that we were having to make, and they weren't all what I, looking back, I wish I had done, you know, made a different one.
Sure.
And I was talking to a priest, and he said to me, no. He said, first of all, your mother would not want you to be sad. He said, but most importantly, who knows but that your mother didn't need that final suffering in order to go straight to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that to me was so meaningful because, you know, you look at what the suffering that you're going through. You know, I have a sister who also died of cancer after my husband, my best friend, you know, one after another. And she had told the Lord that she never wanted to go to purgatory. That woman suffered so much, it was just frightening to me. But I know in my heart she went straight to heaven.
That's
and
beautiful.
I mean, that's the, we're not here, this is not it. You know, heaven is where we're headed, and it's our job to get each other to heaven. That's what matters. That's what's significant. It doesn't matter that you become the best singer in the world. Mm-hmm. Are you the best person? Are you fulfilling the role that God gave you and only you to fill? That is what you're going to care about on the other side. So, yeah, it's hard, but God gives us these things. We don't know. We don't always know why. But often, think about the times when you thought something happened to you that was bad that ended up being good. You know, you lost a job, but you ended up getting a better one.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Things happen that we don't always understand why. Mm-hmm. Your fiance broke up with you, but it turned out you know, he was the wrong guy for you, and you ended up with someone, you know, so much better. So it's, you don't know what's best for you. If you trust God and really, really make the decision to be, I just can't emphasize that enough. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's interesting, though, because you going through eight long years, and then, you know, you're talking about your mom and your sister, and I went through with my dad and my mom. It's so interesting. As you're talking, I'm thinking back at the whole journey. It's very interesting. But this last portion that we have of this pre-recorded broadcast, I want to get into the guilt and the regrets and all the feelings that people feel when their loved one passes.
Okay.
Okay, it's very interesting. But let me just share with our listeners, we're going to get back back to our conversation with Michelle Johnson in just a minute. I just wanted to share, join Father Mitch Pacwa for an engaging interactive Bible study on EWTN Radio. He'll guide you through the sacred scriptures and the rich tradition of the Catholic Church. Catch this insightful program Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern Time and again Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you catch that program because it's so deep and powerful. I love it. So that's a wonderful highlight for all of our Take Two family members. Okay, Michelle, final minutes we have with this wonderful conversation. And thank you so much for checking in with us and visiting us again. We love your book. We love all the work that you do at EWTN. So keep doing it. Thank you so very much. And the book is at EWTNRC.com, Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers. Okay, some of the last emails we just received recently came from beautiful souls that took care of their parents, their aging parents, their elderly parents. Their parents passed, and boy, oh boy, did they feel guilty. They went through all these emotions. I could have been better. I should have been better. I could have been nicer. I could have done more for my mom or dad. Now my siblings and I were fighting over the estate. It's horrible. It's a mess. The whole thing. And all of these feelings are coming up and people are really feeling down, depressed, almost going to the point of despair over it. What do you say to them, Michelle?
None of us is perfect, and God doesn't expect that. God, as Mother Teresa, I think, said, God doesn't expect us to be successful. He expects us to be faithful. If you were there helping your parent, of course you're going to lose your temper sometime. Of course you're going to feel sorry for yourself sometime. Of course you're going to have different feelings. You know, it's not that you have, the feelings themselves are not sinful, and it's not even sinful. God not blaming you. He knows you're tired. You know what I mean?
Right.
He knows that. And he appreciates the fact that you're doing your best. And that's, I'm sure if you go to a good priest, he'll help you with that. You know, I found the priest that I, you know, that talked to me, that just relieved my mind so much because mm-hmm. it's so easy. You know, there's so many decisions that have to be made without, you know, medical knowledge is not what we would like it to be, you know, and they'll say things sometimes and it's like, well, you know, this or this and, you know, well, what's the best? And there is no best. They don't know, you know, it depends. And so you've got to make decisions on the fly and you're doing your best. And the fact that you were there is everything. So be at peace. It's okay. God is not a tyrant. You're being more, I love it. God is love. God is not the strict parent. You know what I mean? You're being a strict parent to yourself. God is sitting there saying, come to me, give this to me. I'll help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll take away. So many times when I've been just distraught and I've gone to him and when my husband died, I remember I was driving to work and I kept flashing back, in this case, not regrets, but just on some of the horrors that I hadn't had time to process. And I'd want to cry, and I just want to, you know, but I couldn't because I'm going to work, and I didn't want to be a big mess. So I remember at one point, I just turned to the Lord, and I went, no, stop it. I said, Jesus, I don't want you to take away these memories, because they're mine, and I want them. But I need you to take away the pain associated with this memory. And one by one, he lifted the pain.
Mm.
He lifted it. And I mean, he is so wonderful. I just can't tell you. If you're missing that, you're missing so much. Because I remember hearing one time that how close we get to God on earth is going to affect how close we are to him in heaven. So do it now. And just take the time to say, help me. That's all you need to say. And he will. I promise.
Beautiful. Michelle Johnson, you are amazing. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you so very much. We need it. We need this book. We deserve this book because, you know, we don't have any type of manuals or guidelines to go into this area when we are faced with it. And you're right. It's all the part of the journey of life and what we get out of it. Staying close to God. I love how you started the beginning of this broadcast, you know, being really tight with God and feeling that joy and peace because you understand that God has a plan and a purpose. And we just enter in. And I love how you finished where you said, if you're showing up, if you're there taking care of your loved one, you're doing a good thing. And so be at peace. I loved how you finished it. Wow, Michelle, you're incredible. Thank you so very much. On Monday, folks, we're going to be back live talking about how do you deal with temptations? Ooh, that's going to be a good one on Monday. Thank you so much to Ace McKay, who put together this wonderful pre-recorded broadcast. We so hope you got a lot out of it. I know I did. So share it with friends. We believe that's a good use of social media. And we just wanted to say thank you to all the affiliates at Carrie Take Two. You're doing such a great service to your listeners. Thank you so very much. And so with that, we'll close this wonderful broadcast. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.